once you had a glimpse, there's no way to go back. Raise yourself, it's the ghost forever on my neck.
Hi guys, my name is Daniel Kurland, and welcome to Bic Zuko's Forever Almanac, a chronicle of reminiscences. A little background on myself first. I am a writer and comedian out of New York, which is fine and hardly exciting. I mean, another fucking New York comedian trying to do a podcast. I bet he's Jewish, too. I am, but that's besides the point. The only reason I am doing this is because of this book I found. This crazy, insane book I found, the titular Forever Almanac. Let me explain how I first came in contact with this artifact. I was browsing through this used bookstore in Greenpoint called Pages of Sageness, which is a pretty great place. They're mega cheap and always have the weirdest, rarest finds. I found these amazing books there that are novelizations of Frasier episodes that no other bookstore has even heard of. I mean, they haven't even heard of these books. So I was killing time in Pages one day, that's what the regulars would call the place, Pages, and I found this super freaky looking book with an incredibly worn down cover and pages just sticking out messily from inside. The spine was such a mess that if books could get scoliosis, this one would have died from the scoliosis. And on the cover was the title, scrawled across the plain jacket in what looked like red crayon, Bic Zuko's Forever Almanac, A Chronicle of Reminiscences, by Bic Zuko. This was a pretty exciting find, like, more exciting than if I had found a series of novelized Frisky Dingo episodes. I immediately went to the checkout with it and asked them how much money I needed to give them so I could take this book, and they didn't even have a listing for the book. The girl looked it all over, and she said that judging by the condition it was in, I could probably just take it. And get this, after looking inside the book, everything is handwritten in it. Which makes me think that this author, Bic Zuko, must have personally just added the book to the shelves of the store himself, in which case, that's pretty awesome. But then I'm leaving Pages, and this homeless man, this filthy streetwalker that looked like he was wearing like 15 super thin coats to be as warm as the equivalent of one normal coat, he shouts at me, "Read it well, conquistador," which is fine. I walked out with the book, so he probably just put two and two together. But, and here's the fucking ridiculous thing, "Read it well, conquistador" is written on the inside cover of the book. I didn't realize this until I had gotten home, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that homeless guy was Bic Zuko, who apparently seems to have fallen on some harsh times. So I returned back to the store looking for him, and even asked people back at Pages if anyone knew who he was or if they'd seen him, but they said they didn't even have a listing for that homeless man. I haven't read the book yet, because I'd like to go through each entry in it for the first time with you guys, but from skimming through it, it seems as if Bic Zuko was a struggling writer that eventually resorted to doing magic, a skill he was well adept at, to make ends meet. It stands to reason the magic stopped being sustainable as well if he was in fact this vagrant outside of Pages. Bic Zuko was also the creator of a series of books for young adults about a group of outcast teenagers that could also morph into horses called the Adventuestrians, with an exclamation point at the end. The Adventuestrians! I've only spent a couple of seconds thinking about the title, but it's pretty clear that it's a crude mashup of the words adventure and equestrian. Some minimal research revealed that the series lasted just shy of a dozen books, but did spawn the short-lived series Ghosts of the Adventuestrians, meant for slightly younger readers. Far from being the official reason, but many people account the cancellation of the Adventuestrian series as a result of the Charles Turlington trials, which involved a deranged farmer that tried to breed teenagers and horses together to create an all-powerful offspring. This thing is buried pretty deep, but you can still find info on it out there if you look hard enough. And while this connection to the Adventuestrian series is tangential at best, Turlington's stable, where he performed the experiments, was lined with copies of the books, and court transcripts indicate that when asked for a comment on the series, he responded, "I wouldn't consider myself a fan of the books, but I have read each of them more than once." There seem to be a bunch of drafts and writings on the series in here, so I'm sure that we'll get to gallop into that world soon enough. Wait, was that racist of me? The gallop comment, was that right? Additional research told me that after writing didn't work out for Bic, he resorted to doing magic. I think this is pretty awesome, and don't know why he didn't just focus on magic originally, but he seems to have a definite modicum of shameful contempt for the trick, which is all he refers to it as. Never a skill or a talent, but a trick. Like folding your tongue. I guess people these days just care so little about magic, or those that do care don't have the means to give him the financial support that he needed, forcing him to up the severity of his trade. In a well-publicized show, and the means as to how to successfully do this trick are outlined within the Forever Almanac, Zuko pulled out his appendix in the middle of a show. He pulled out his appendix. That makes no sense to me. Skin doesn't just absorb a hand and let you in or whatever, so this sounds insane or just a lie. But people have written about it, so I don't know. I do not know. The trick itself went successfully and was even included in Alakazam Monthly's year-end list of the 10 best magic tricks of 87. It was number 4. But afterwards, a stray seagull flew down, hungry at the promise of succulent appendix meat, and in the process happened to badly bite Zuko's hand, and was even included in Alakazam Monthly's year-end list of the 10 best magic blunders of 87. It was number 2. The hand became gangrenous in time and was eventually fucking amputated, a fate that would be problematic for a writer, but for a magician, career-ending. There's even some speculation that Bic wanted this to happen all along, to force him out of the magic trade. Why else choose a peer for your venue? It's also worth noting that there's a noticeable decline in the handwriting throughout the Forever Almanac, which may be a result of this accident. I'm sure there's a lot more to Bic Zuko, and we'll find it out as we go along. My original plan here was going to spend time looking for the entry best suited to be used in the first episode here, but the first entry in the book is a poem called Welcome to the World of Zuko, which seems like a pretty appropriate introduction. So here we go. Welcome to the World of Zuko. A spider spins a web for all he loathes and all he loves. A burglar robs a snowman, only managing its gloves. The bully gets his teeth crunched in because he only deals in shoves, and in the midst of everything, a trainer eats his doves. Welcome to the world of Zuko. The doggies chase their tails as they play a game of woof bark. The mayor cheats on his old wife at the zenith of his new park. An archer switches to poison arrows while realigning his mark, and the matchmen make a killing as the earth submits to permadark. Welcome to the world of Zuko. Greys and scums must form a team, we hold a prayer for their plan. The scientist does drop his mug, he's learned the truth of all man. Celeb and Reg meet once at last, but autographs come from the fan. And the revolver keeps on spinning, with no difference where it will land.
Welcome to the world of Zuko. This is the world of Zuko. You are the world of Zuko. So when you said you weren't, or couldn't, or didn't know how, you were just like everyone. And wouldn't you say it's easier when the finger over the button is from the multidextrous hand of everyone, hand manity itself? We are all doing this together. We are all losing this together unless we exercise hand manity, keep it nourished and challenged. You don't know how? You've already done it. You wrote this poem. Bic Zuko wrote this poem, and therefore we all wrote this poem. Look in the mirror. Isn't your haircut a lot like Bic Zuko's? And doesn't your smile curve very closely to how Bic Zuko's does? And your eyes, that shine and disarming nature they possess, is identical to Mr. Zuko's. It's even fair to say that... Wait. What was that? Did you say something? Someone called out your name and... Bic Zuko is inside the house.
And that's the end. That was amazing. I love that. It's the apocalypse, right? He's talking about the apocalypse, dove eating, and greats and scums working together. Was Zuko trying to predict an apocalypse, I wonder? The Mayan apocalypse, maybe. But this entry was written in June 1st, 1981. That's over 30 years ago. Years before the Mayans had predicted anything. Bic Zuko, you smart bastard. And that should work, I think. That certainly works as a primer to this whole fucked up thing. Better than like some regular journal entry or something lame like that. Also, the entire entry is written with one of those pencil crayons that was like two different colored pieces of lead. So when you use it, you get both colors. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's in orange and blue. Fuck. That too, even. That's not some weird mistake or anything. It's more apocalypse, with these opposites coming to a head at once. Or maybe it's some weird mistake or whatever, I don't know. Okay, cool. Exciting. Well, that's going to be it for episode 1 of Bic Zuko's Forever Almanac, a chronicle of reminiscences. I was your host, Daniel Kurland, and join me again soon to delve deeper into this tone. But until then, the chronicle is chroniclosed.
Once you had a glimpse, there's no way to go back. Raise yourself, it's Bic Zuko, Forever Almanac. Forever Almanac.